Let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm number 27. Psalm number 27. We sing through this psalm this morning. The Lord's my light and saving health. Who shall make me dismayed? My life strength is the Lord. Of whom then shall I be afraid? These verses 1 to 4, five stanzas, Psalm 27. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Our great holy God, our heavenly Father, as we begin another new year, what better thing to do than to remind ourselves or be reminded from the scriptures, the Lord is our light and our saving health. He is the strength of our heart. And we will not fear what men may do unto us. As we begin this another year of our lives, O God, we pray that we will be conscious how brief and uncertain our life really is, and how steadfast is the gospel, how unchangeable is the human condition in a sense. Born in sin, generation by generation, redeemed by grace, generation by generation, the same need of all men, the same provision for all men in the gospel, the same Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, always the Saviour, always the Lord, always the one who became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Always the one who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Always the same Jesus who died upon the cross of Calvary to take away the sins of the world. The Son of God, who became flesh in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, to condemn sin in the flesh. This is the gospel. And we pray that we would remember that this is the gospel, and that the only right and proper response to such a message is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to place our hope in him, to love him who first of all has loved us. And so, our Heavenly Father, as we look back on another year that has gone, we are glad to remember the truth of the Scripture, that God ever remains faithful. Not only are His mercies new every morning, great is His faithfulness, but His mercies are new every year. And down through the running centuries of our world, it has always been the same. The Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps as He watches over Israel. And so this morning, as we begin this another year of our lives, help us to commit our ways to God and to remember that the Lord has a purpose in the history of the world, and that life here on earth will not go on and on and on, generation by generation, but it will come to its appointed end in God's time and in God's way. We believe, O God, in the Scripture. We believe that the promises of God concerning the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ are reality and truth, that these are not fancies, that these are not simply platitudes, these are not empty fantasies or make-believe religion, but that these are truths of the gospel, and that Christ will come, He will come again in order to take His people to be with Him, that where He is, there we may be also. And so we pray that we would be optimistic, not in the sense of the empty optimism of the world looking for better things, that we can do better things, but optimistic in the promises that God has given, and that He will bring all things to its glorious and gracious climax, and God will be glorified, Christ will be exalted, and God's people will be revealed as those who at the last will shine like the stars in the firmament. We give thanks, O God, for the gospel, for the historicity of it, for the supernaturalism of it, for the prophecies embedded in it, for the hope that it engenders in fallen human hearts, in redeemed human hearts, and for the way that the Scriptures record our Lord Jesus Christ as a man amongst men, helpful and always making time to deal with sinners. This man, he was accused critically in the days of his flesh. This man receives sinners and eats with them. And we are glad, O God, that this is true, because it is true today as it was then. This man, this exalted God-man, still receives sinners and still eats with them. This is the hope of the world. And this is the message that we have for the world. And whether men and women will believe or not believe, listen or not listen, this is the message that we are given to make known. And we pray that we would make it known. We would make it known in its wide implications and in all its gracious implications. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that this morning we would sing the praises of God, that we would pray for the church in the world, we'd pray for the preaching of the gospel, we'd pray for those multitudes of people who are going to be converted to Christ in this coming year. We pray for those multitudes of believers who will suffer for Christ in this coming year. We pray for those multitudes who will be called into the preaching ministry of the gospel in this coming year. We pray for those, O God, who will be opposed to the gospel in this coming year. We pray for those who will be the rulers in high places, in worldly positions in this coming year. We commend them all to the God of the gospel. And so we pray that we would commit ourselves now and our loved ones, our children, our fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, our cousins and all our loved ones. We pray for them all, O God. We do pray for them. We love them. We want them to be saved above all things. Whatever else in life they experience, we pray that they would experience grace, experience God's grace, the love of Christ. And so we confess again our need of Christ. Always our need is the same. We are sinners by nature and by practice, and even those who are redeemed still, it is true that sin remains close at hand and does its deadly work in our lives. But we give thanks to God that sin no longer has the place or the same power, dominance that it once had, that sin has been dealt with, and sin is a decreasing influence in the life of God's people. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And we give thanks, O God, that the life of the believing individual is a life of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So look upon us now and bless us as we try to worship, as we try to witness, as we try to commit ourselves again intelligently and in every way, practically, always trying to commit ourselves to the life of believing and following Christ. This is our prayer, O God. We pray for God's glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to read this morning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to read the whole of the chapter. 19 in Matthew's Gospel. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They said unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoso marries her who is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciples said unto him, If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs by men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good, but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so on. Amen. Now, we remind you of the intimations. The afternoon service at 4:30 p.m. will also be a recorded service. Our Wednesday meeting, the 5th of January, at 7 p.m, God willing, we hope to be in Pitt Street once again this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. Next Lord's Day, that is the 9th of January, the morning service will be recorded. That's 10:30 in the morning. It will be a recorded service, and then the 4:30 p.m. service, God willing, we hope to be in Pitt Street. So these are the expected coming services. We remind you also, of course, of the offerings for the ongoing work of the congregation in our midst. Well, these are the intimations as far as I have them. And so we shall continue then to sing to God's praise and glory in Psalm number 27, verses 5 to 8. Psalm 27, verses 5 to 8.